Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our summer series, Walking with Jesus. In this series, we're going to closely examine the life and ministry of Jesus, from where he went, to how he thinks, to who he talks to. We're going to step into the shoes of his disciples and learn what they learned from closely walking beside him on his journeys, so that hopefully, when the season is over, we look that much more like him and can do the same ourselves. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
So good morning again. I just want to thank you all for being here. My name is Brian Rooney, and I'm on the pastoral staff here at Valley Brook. If we haven't met, please, I'd love to meet you this afternoon or this morning after the service. I just want to reiterate really quickly one of the things that Cynthia said this morning. It is a great day when the church can come together. It's a lovely thing knowing that there are people out there that believe the same things you believe, have the same mission that you have, but it is really a wonderful thing when those people get to come together, unite together as we start our week. And it's a gift to us that we get to do this. So thank you for coming in and being a gift to us. And if you're new here, if you're new to Valley Brook, thank you for coming and gifting us today with your presence today. It is a gift to us, your time. So please do not feel like you need to give. Your presence is a gift enough. So thank you for giving to us and being generous to us with your time this morning. So as the video has shown, and we are in the middle of a series, or we're actually finishing up a series today called Walking with Jesus. And if you've also started to notice, I mean, if the, you know, loads of school buses on the road and the much cooler mornings, if those haven't kind of tipped you off, we're also moving out of summer and into fall. And during this season that we've been in, we've tried to take advantage of the summer in being able to utilize all that it allows us to do. And so we've been doing lots of walking and lots of talking and lots of being as we've been going through this series. We spent the last summer trying to learn how to become more like Jesus, looking at the way he interacts, what he says, how he talks, how he deals with difficult situations. The reason so that we do that is because we want to then embody who he is. That way we can go out into our communities and be more like him and shine our light, or shine his light through us, so that we can then present Jesus to the rest of the world. That's been kind of our goal during this series. And on top of this series, I know I've heard a lot of stories, and I just want to say real quick, for those of you who have been doing this, thank you for sharing, at least with me. I know you've been sharing with other people, but thank you for sharing what this has been like. It has been blessing me to hear all of the stories of how you have taken God's practices and patterns and the things that he lives, and you've been practicing it yourself. Thank you for sharing what that's been like, because it's been a testament that it really can change the world. So thank you for doing that. One of the other things that at least I've been doing this summer as we've been kind of in this new series is I've been doing a lot of reading. I found that when I start to slow down and start to walk, I start to not want my phone around as much. And so I stop watching things online and I'm like, oh, I'll start reading now. Like, this is kind of fun. And one of the things that I've noticed while I'm reading is I really love, in stories at least, I'm a big storyteller and I love stories. I think they're a great way of communicating information. But I love the beginnings and the ends of stories particularly, because there's a huge difference between like who the person was in the beginning versus the end. You know, in the beginnings of stories, there's always a dream. There's always like a quest or something to learn, something to become that starts in a story. So there's lots of heightened emotion on where are we going to go? What are we going to do? This is amazing, this journey we have in front of us. It's a time marked by excitement, but also a bit of fear, because you don't really know exactly what you're about to go out into. The ends of the journey, the ending of these stories, however, while it can also be marked from, like, it's a time of excitement and joy that we have come to the end, we are in this new place, but also I found that oftentimes there's this subtle underlining of, like, so what now? Like, what do we do? Like, what's the new normal? There's this shift between, like, we've We've been dreaming of all these things to learn and be and become, and now there's no more learning. Now there's no more becoming. We're in the end now. Like, what does this mean? And oftentimes can be left with, is that it? Like, did we make it? And so at the end of this series, and just by the way, we do series here at Valley Brook because we find that we think talking about a certain subject for weeks on end can be helpful so we can see all sides of it. We can kind of really dive into it and really immerse ourselves into it. It also makes our individual sermons a little less. They're not like an hour long now. We've been able to spread it out, but it allows us to fully see all the angles of something. That way we can really pour into it. So now at the end of this series, we're at the end of the summer, and we're into the fall now, and the series is over. So let me ask the question, did you make it? Did you walk with Jesus? Do you feel like you can emulate Jesus and be and imitate Jesus in your community? Are you there? Getting a lot of big eyes. You know, one thing, I think I would love to share this with you. One thing that one of my therapy professors, for those of you who don't know me, I used to be a clinical therapist, so I've gone to therapy school as well as seminary. And one of the things that one of my therapy professors told me about journeys and about, he told me this interesting story about people finishing like long periods of time, specifically people in their PhD programs. He told me that the biggest day of dread is, and the lowest that they felt was actually the day they got their PhD, when students actually finally achieved the thing that they were setting out to become, was the lowest day for them. He said that, you know, and I don't know if you guys know this, but for PhD students, you study for years and years on classes, doing tons and tons of classwork and papers, and then it's ended by a 200 to 300 page paper. You do your PhD dissertation. I lost the word there for a second. And after all the years of study and classes and learning, you present this enormous piece of work to a board. And the board reads it, and then they decide, are you a PhD, or do you need to go back and do more work? And so these students that have been working for years and years and years, when they finally get to that day, and they get the thumbs up that you made it, they don't really feel like they made it. They kind of just feel like, well, yesterday I had done all the same amount of work, and now this morning, because I just got a thumbs up because someone said I was, that now I'm a PhD. They have to deal with this moment of, I am something new simply now because someone said I was. I heard one student who went through this said, I actually felt the dumbest I had ever felt the day I got it. He's like, I felt smarter yesterday before I was a PhD, but now I am. And so he had to deal with this frequent tension between finishing and knowing I am something new without really kind of feeling in that moment. So let me ask, now that we've finished this series, let me ask again. As we've learned to walk with Jesus, reading what he's been doing, trying to practice and pattern the life of Jesus out in our lives, do you feel like you made it? You feel like you have your PhD in being a disciple? Well, I can imagine, as I'm seeing, probably a lot of different reactions and feelings to that. There's probably some that are like, oh, I'm not ready for that. I missed a few weeks. I can't be expected to do it. I missed a class or two. Like, I'll get there eventually. There's probably some of you who are like, yeah, let's go. Absolutely. I am so ready. Let's do it. And I can imagine there's a few of you who are probably like, that's not why I'm here. That's not why I come on the mornings. I was never signing up for that. I'm just doing one of those where I sit in and just listen to it. And if you find yourself in any one of those categories, then you are exactly where all of Jesus' disciples were when his ministry came to an end. You are exactly, all of you in any of those categories are exactly where they were. See, after Jesus had died, He rose again and he showed himself to over 500 people, showing himself to hundreds and making himself known. And at the end of that time, he met with his disciples to give them one last task, one last teaching. This was their disciple PhD board meeting where they gave the thumbs up. And this is what he says. He says this in Matthew 28. It says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. And Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I have given you, and be sure of this, that I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" So, recap of this, these people have been learning from him, learning to be like him, trying to pattern their life in the way that he does, so that way they can reflect what he reflects, to be like him. And now he gives them a mission at the end. He goes, "You've made it." And I'm paraphrasing when I'm saying this. He's saying, "Tell about me everywhere and lead people the way that I have led you." And all these people, having learned from him and having been here, have this moment of, whoa. And they're full of doubts. Some are ready for it. Some are not sure this is what they wanted to do, or not sure what's going on. They had a dream, and now they've landed at the end. They're the beginning of their journey, and now at the end of this journey, walking with Jesus, and now they have this new, what does this new thing look like? Where is this? And he gives them the mission, and it's terrifying to some of them. So think for a moment, what would you do in that situation? Consider for a moment, as some of you probably already have, having read that verse we just put up on the screen. I assume many of you have thought about this already, but consider for a moment that Pastor Clark and I are going to challenge all of you guys to do this, all right? Let's just get past that already. Let's just assume that's going to happen and just go to the next question that follows that. What would you do, or how would you feel if that was ushered to you? Would you feel ready to go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all the things that Jesus has commanded? Would you feel ready? Would you feel like that's your job to do? Or maybe that's just one for the super uber Christians, or the people that work full time. Is that not something you feel like you want to do at all? I want you to just shift your thinking for a moment. I want you to imagine, just imagine, that instead of Clark and I asking you this, we're trying to put ourselves into the spots that the disciples were for a moment. So I want you to imagine that whoever pays your salary asked you to do this instead. Imagine your boss asked you to do something like this. Or maybe even let's take it higher to the next level. Imagine the political candidate that you're in favor of came to you in person and asked you to do this. What would that be like for you? Maybe a little different? They hold a little bit more authority, those kind of positions, because there's a bit of a tagline to this. And just so you guys knew, for a little bit of context, in their time, when a person of authority asked you to do something, they took and they paid attention to that, because there is more to the story there. In their day and age, if a person of authority asked something of you, you had to, by legal law, to drop what you were doing and help them. So their authority and their status actually carried weight in legal cases. So if someone of political authority or in military authority asked you to do something, you had to drop what you were doing and obey them. And if you didn't, you would be guilty of non-adherence, and most of the time would be thrown into prison. So this is that kind of culture. They understood authority this way. So for them, they felt a little bit more weight. It wasn't just this Jesus guy asking them questions. For them, it was, there is a huge authority figure in front of me asking me to do something, and they knew the weight of what would happen if they did it. And for Jesus' case, what authority is Jesus coming with? But he says, but all authority on heaven and on earth. To bring this a little bit more into what it may have felt like, I want you to imagine if the president came to you in person and asked you, I need you to do this for me. Get all the security guards around him, and you're like, whoa. Or imagine even higher than that, if all of the world's political leaders came together over coffee and asked you to do something for them. Could you even imagine the amount of, like, the anxiety you would feel in that moment? I know I would. I would probably need a new pair of pants. Consider the amount of conviction they felt in that moment. What would you do? How would you respond in that moment with that kind of authority in front of you? So say you go. Say you go, okay, sure. Cool. Awesome. Let's go do it. I'm with it. I'm with the mission. Let's do it. What do you even do? How do you even start? Do you just start going out with signs? Because that's what people in the, you know, on the internet have done. I wouldn't recommend it. Please don't. But think about it. What would you do? Because this isn't just an idea. This happened. This actually happened. This isn't just writings in a book and an idea to think about. What would you do here? Because Jesus has given us this command. As Christians, as people here at Valley Brook in this community, what are we to do with a command such as this? See, Jesus tells us in this final command, he says, to teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands that I have given you, which paraphrased means, in the same way that I have led you, lead them. The way that he personally lived, live that way to everybody that you encounter. And that's why we focus this whole season on walking with Jesus and trying to be like Jesus, because his command to us to go is not just, I need you to do a bunch of things, but he's saying, I have shown you how to do this, do the same. If you wonder, how do I do this? Where do I go? Look at the life of Jesus and look at what he does and say, I will do that same thing in the same way that he does. It means we are to live Jesus everywhere, to everyone and every place that we go, especially the places that we would dare not to go with Jesus. Those are the places we need to be Jesus in. This means our homes, our friendships, our places of work, everybody, living as Jesus lived, telling about him and following him to everyone. Does that sound impossible? Honesty, just real quick. Does it sound much harder in theory than it does in practice? Well, that's true at least. It is a lot harder in practice than it is in theory. So what reason do you have in your mind right now? What's the thought going through in your mind? Considering going out and doing this and being this. You know, when I was a therapist and I did clinical work, there was always this moment in our clinical discussions that everything hinged on one kind of topic, and it was the thought that you had for or against making a change happen. When they said, I'm faced with what I need to do, there is this moment and this thought that everybody has where it's, this is the reason why I will or will not do this. And it usually starts with it's a can't or a shouldn't or a but or a mustn't. And for weeks on end, I would have to deal with that thought there. It was dealing with that should or that can't or that maybe not. And we wouldn't be able to make any kind of change in our lives until we dealt with that response. So let me ask you, let me play therapist here for a quick second. What is that thought that we have? Do we have one? Is it a, I can't? I wasn't here for all of them. I don't fully know. Is it a, but I need longer, or I'm not able to do this, or I'm scared to do this, whatever it is. So to that thought, can I ask the question, what would you need to feel ready, to feel comfortable, to feel like you could do this in what it fully requires? Because Jesus offers something in that moment. So I want you to think, what if in that moment with all those people of authority that I asked you to imagine in front of you, with the weight of that ask, I want you to imagine that as they asked you that question, they provided you with an extra bit. And they said, can you do this? And we'll come with you and we'll do it with you. What if that was the offer? Because that is exactly what Jesus offers to us. He says, and be sure of this, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. He's telling us that as we live the way that he lives, not only is he asking us to do this, but he's saying, I will walk with you and show you how to do this as you're doing it. And one with this authority, and this is something I ask, if you could take anything away from this, I'd ask, like, if you can just draw near for a moment, hone in on this for half a second. With somebody with this authority asking you to do this and then saying, I will walk with you, be me with this authority, and I'm coming with you. Do you know what this means? It means that Jesus takes full responsibility for a life that is fully devoted to him. Jesus, with the authority that he takes, the ask that he is asking for you to emulate him and be him everywhere you go, and that he will walk with you as you do it, he is taking full responsibility for a life that is fully devoted to him. As we shine the light of Christ out into the world, God is saying, I hold authority over the world, and I hold authority on what comes next when you do this. So as a church, we are called, as those who follow Jesus, we are called to be Jesus everywhere he goes and to assume that he takes the responsibility for it. If we fully devote our life to him, he will fully take responsibility for what comes after, for what happens after the interactions, for what happens to us as we do it. So that thought we have, that but, that can't, that should, that whatever that main thought is, he's saying, I will be with you when you do it, and I will take responsibility for what comes after. He takes full responsibility for a life fully devoted to him. Where to start? Look at the life of Jesus. I want to give you just one example of how to be Jesus where you go. Jesus was open to interruptions, and he saw interruptions as opportunities. So I want to challenge you as you go out. The first thing that we see when we're trying to emulate Jesus as we're leaving this series, this journey, and moving it to the next, a tangible challenge that we want to give to all of you, the leadership here wants to provide you with this challenge, is to see interruptions as opportunities for that we as Christ followers would be the most open to interruptions, because we see them as opportunities. Did you know that over 50% of the miracles and healings that Jesus did were in the interruptions of life? We do this because in these opportunities, in the interruptions of life, you will encounter the greatest faith and the greatest change. That's evident in the way that we've seen Jesus live. So as we leave, As we contemplate this challenge to us to go into the world and be Jesus wherever we go, to imitate him, to pattern our lives after him, knowing that he takes full responsibility, will you provide room for interruptions in your life? Will you slow down to allow yourself to be interrupted? And for in those interruptions, for you to see them as opportunities. That is where we will encounter the greatest faith and the greatest room for change and life change in those moments. Remember that he takes full responsibility for what happens when you go. So, assuming again that Clark and I are going to usher this ask of you and challenge you to do the same thing, will you do it? For Christ's command to us was to go and do the same. So let's go and do the same. I'd love to invite the worship team to come up. If you are new here to Valley Brook, our mission, our whole desire for meeting and coming together is to be more like Christ and to fulfill this mission, to go out and be Jesus everywhere we go, to shine his light everywhere we go. So that way, when we provide, when we give our glory to God, we emulate it out to the world. And so when the world sees that light, they do not see us, but they see Christ in us, and they give him glory through what we have done so that they may see the light of Jesus and come to know him. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move into a time of worship. So would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to go and be you to the world, to shine your light to the world. Lord, I think of an angled mirror where you shine your light onto us and we shine it out to the rest of the world so that they may see you and that the work that we do can then reflect back from us back to you as worship. Lord, be with us as we reflect your light in the world. Thank you for giving us this opportunity and for giving us the assurance that you take full responsibility for what happens after we provide our lives fully devoted to you. Lord, help us in this. Help us in our first step in this to see interruptions as opportunities, to take this tangible example of how you lived life and to live that out into the world. Thank you for this. Help us in this. It is harder in practice than it is in theory, but you said that you would take responsibility, and yet you still charged us to go. So as we leave here as disciples, being told by you that we are your disciples, wherever we are on this, feeling ready, knowing that we are your disciples, help us to go and do the same. In your name we pray, amen.